and welcome to episode 64 of the AA Meeting. As always, I am your host, Jamie Briggs, the Editor-in-Chief at Analog Addiction. Welcome. Thank you very much for joining me. As always, the weekly podcast for Analog Addiction. We talk about the news, what I've been gaming, what's on the site, and any other little tidbits. Let's start off, as we usually do, with what I have been playing. The latest thing I've been playing has just been reviewed by myself. It's now published on Analog Addiction. Was the third episode of The Walking Dead Season 2, In Harm's Way. Now, I played through this twice yesterday. This was my whole full day. Made sure to play one way, and then I always try to do the exact opposite to see just what kind of changes can be made in the game itself. This episode, amongst all three, is probably the weakest when it comes to change. There's not much difference, no matter what choices you really do, except for one key decision at the end, which we don't really see the ramifications yet. It looks like that will be next episode. But as the episode itself, for change, not so much. Of course, you'll have some sort of little conversational changes depending on what you say, but it's nothing on the lines of what The Wolf Among Us has been doing in ways of dialogue. As for the game itself, the choices don't seem to really do that much. Which was, a little bit disappointing, seeing as it does have this illusion that your choices will actually matter, and what they do will drastically change stuff, but when you go through it a second time, you find out they just don't really do much, and what is meant to happen, happens. Alongside that, I will say Carver is probably one of the best villains The Walking Dead franchise as an entertainment medium has ever seen. His unpredictable nature is definitely showcased in this episode, and with that, it leaves a huge fear every time he's on screen. You don't know which character is going to face his wrath, and it's very much an oppression that he provides on everyone that is following him and the captives that he has taken. It's a very dictator-like messiah mindset, and it makes for a very intriguing and sort of fearful episode in that regard. I'm trying my best to not get into any spoilers story-wise for the episode. You can read the full review where it's completely spoiler-free, but I do like the fact that they sort of gave all these newer characters a chance to really showcase their personalities and hopefully flesh out what they actually are like, which was great because, Season 1 had a great cast of characters. We got to be able to, find out much about them very quickly, and I feel like Season 2 has sort of struggled in that regard in comparison, so it's nice to see these characters finally have a little bit more fleshing out. Overall, it was a strong episode. I gave it an 8.5. That I gave the first episode an 8.3 and last episode a 9.4, so it's in the middle. It's more towards sort of okay, still great though, but not on the same level as episode 2 was, which is probably one of my favourites that The Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us has provided. But the full review is up if you want to go check that out. Alongside that, I've been continuing to go through The Witcher. I had a quiet weekend, which basically involved me sitting in front of the heater with a blanket, just really delving into Witcher 1. As I said last week, I'm pretty sure, I want to catch up and get ready for Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and so far, I'm hit Chapter 3. I know I'm probably fairly still early on in the whole grand scheme of things, but I've really just been enjoying, doing the missions, leveling up, speaking to characters, and really getting to know the lore of the world. So I'm quite enjoying it for what it is. I was able to find a good camera angle. It's very Diablo-esque style, which is what I'm playing in, and for person that doesn't really play PC games that much, it works very well. It's nice and easy to get used to. That's probably all I've been playing this week, and I'm hoping to get my hands on Transistor sometime next week, and then Watch Dogs the week after, which will be my next reviews. Let's hop into the news though. On the Sony front, it was announced what the PlayStation Plus edition of Drive Club will detail. And we found out the full game itself will have 55 tracks, 50 cars, and 50 tour events. The game that is the PlayStation Plus version will give players 11 tracks, 10 cars, access to every game mode, all situated in one location, which is India. Now, here, players will be able to keep this PlayStation Plus edition, as with they do any other PlayStation Plus Instant Game Collection game, and they are able to upgrade it, which will cost them a little bit less when they upgrade, if they decide to upgrade digitally. And, you know, that's always good, you know. So, it seems like it's going to be released day and date, so we would assume October PlayStation Plus will include this as the PS4 game. Moving on to a strong delay, it seems that, well, it is true now that the Elder Scrolls Online will launch a lot later on consoles than expected. It was meant to launch in June, I believe, but Bethesda came out and said it's just not working well, and, you know, we want to make sure it's the best experience possible, so we're delaying both the Xbox One and PS4 editions. No word aside from a casual 6 months delay, so it could be coming around holiday season, a little bit earlier, maybe even early next year. So if you're looking forward to that game from Bethesda, it seems like you're going to be waiting a little bit longer. Now, another delay which came about around about the same time is Techland's Dying Light. Now, if you don't know what this is an open world sort of zombie title. Think Dead Island crossed with Mirror's Edge. And, you know, there's been a lot of positives coming out of this game. You know, during the day, you're basically scavenging, trying to survive, and at night, you know, the zombies go crazy, and it becomes even harder. It's been delayed. It will be delayed until February next year, which I think, you know, it's always disappointing when a game gets delayed, but then you got to think about it. The finished product is going to be a lot better because of this, so it makes sense. You know, I was excited for this. I'm willing to wait till February. It looks like it's going to be a big holiday season anyway, so maybe it was a smart move to delay it out to that point. So we would just have to wait and see how it turns out. Now, we're going to jump into a lot of Xbox news. Now, there is a lot of cool stuff that I'm going to talk about. We got our first footage of Sunset Overdrive gameplay over the last week. We also got told about a Day One edition, which will give them a extra weapon, another exclusive melee weapon called the Hardcore Hammer, and another costume, which represents one of the bosses in Sunset Overdrive. Sorry. It looks pretty cool. It looks very over the top. There's like so many influences of other games to compare it to. Very Sly Raccoon, Tony Hawk, Infamous. Very interesting. There's no walk button. It's all about running, jumping, grinding, making your way through the game, trying to kill everything. All these OD'd, which are basically people that got hooked on a new energy drink. It's a very cool concept. Very over the top. Very much, you know, Dead Rising feel as well with the over top weapon design, which, you know, Insomniac Games has come to be accustomed to. It looks cool. If you're an Xbox One owner, this looks like a very cool exclusive. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, E3 just around the corner, less than a month away, we will get probably a long gameplay video at the Microsoft press event. So, more to keep an eye on. Now, these next three stories are huge news for Xbox owners. Firstly, these were all announced over the last 24 hours, players will finally be getting Games for Gold coming to Xbox One starting next month. And with the difference between Xbox One Games for Gold and the 360 will stay the same. You know, if you have Gold, you keep them forever. Xbox One will work like PlayStation Plus, where you have to have the subscription to be able to access those games. Those first two games will be Halo Spartan Assault and Max, The Curse of the Brotherhood. Now, that's pretty good for, you know, two free games straight up over the month of June. It looks like that for 360 players will, because of the year anniversary of the actual concept itself, players will get three games, one of them being Dark Souls, the original, Charlie Murder, and Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. So a lot of cool stuff coming to Microsoft owners. And alongside that, the now gold subscription requirement to be able to use Netflix, Amazon, and all those other streaming applications will now be taken down. If you don't have gold, you can still use those applications. So Microsoft seem to be doing a lot of things for the players, for their fans, which is a great move on their part. But probably the biggest announcement over the last couple of days was the fact Microsoft will be leasing a Xbox One SKU without the Kinect, even though they pushed it so much, and, you know, we had a lot of people saying that they weren't going to do their own version of, you know, the Xbox One without Kinect, but it seems like it's happening, and it will be dropping in price to $400 American, that's $450 in Australia if you are from my country. It will be coming and starting June 9th. There's no word on how much the Kinect will cost on its own or when it will release. But, you know, it is a very strong move because, let's be honest, I don't think many games have really capitalized on Kinect so far on Xbox One. And, you know, aside from all the, you know, being able to go through your menus and using the voice recognition, there doesn't really seem to be much that the Kinect is doing. So that extra pricing model coming off and now being a little bit more, you know, price parity with the PlayStation 4, along with the fact now anyone that was against the Kinect doesn't have any reason to be, seeing as it's not in the box, it's a really cool concept. Now, we saw PlayStation 4, they decided to not have the camera with the system, and it's apparently done very well. You know, they underestimated how popular it would be, so maybe this will be, you know, something that doesn't really affect things. Maybe it might be just the fact the console's cheaper. Maybe people will end up buying Kinect by itself, but it seems like if an interview with Phil Spencer has anything to say with it, it won't be the straight discounted price, so you might have to pay a little bit more if you buy each separately. But personally, I haven't got an Xbox One yet, but if I'm going to, I would get it with Kinect, just because that is the vision, and I want to try and get the most out of my consoles, especially with the investment of that. And let's be honest, you know, it's, if you're already going out that much, you might, and you're going to buy a game, probably, or something along those lines. You know, Kinect seems cool to people, so I think it's a cool decision. It's a nice decision for anyone that was holding themselves back because of the price or the Kinect system itself. But we shall see how it works in June's MPDs when it comes around. So that's all the news over the last week. As for Analog Addiction ourselves, we have a lot of reviews up at the moment. We have Bound by Flame, got a sort of mediocre review, but, you know, very justified from our PC editor. We also have The Last Tinker, City of Colors review. This is a little indie game, looks very beautiful, and apparently it's a dark horse. It was a very good game, so if you want to check that out, that's up. Our Child of Light review is finally up, gave it a strong 9 out of 10. I will be publishing my Child of Light feature either tomorrow or Monday. Really check it out. Very proud of this piece, so I hope you guys can check that one out and enjoy it. Outlast Whistleblower DLC review is now out. We gave it a strong 9 out of 10. Ryan, our PC editor, absolutely loved it. He reviewed the original Outlast and says this DLC is a must-buy. And yes, if you want to read the full Walking Dead review, that is now up as well. Along with a feature coming up later up this week or early next regarding the budget cuts in Australia to the Australian games video game, the Australian video games industry, so keep an eye out for that. Also, we also have a Demon Gaze review. So we have a lot of content up for you guys to go check out. If you want to follow all our content, you can head over to Twitter and follow Analog Addiction at Analog Addiction. Myself is at JamieAA. Go follow us on Facebook, like the fan page. We have a contest to actually get you to win a copy of Bound by Flame on Steam at the moment. So if you want to go into that, I'd say go jump over there as quick as possible. It ends by the end of the week. So good luck with that. Alongside that, you know, join our Facebook group, follow us on YouTube at Analog Addiction Video with all the trailers, more gameplay videos coming up, and Let's Plays. So keep an eye out for all that sort of stuff. Until then, that is episode 64 of the AA meeting in the book. Still crazy to think that there's been 64 episodes of this show. I will be back next week for episode 65, and I would love to have your appearance at the next AA meeting.